Hey, welcome back to the Talent Pool Podcast with Jaden and John. Today we've got a very special guest with us, Alexander Burgos. How you doing, Alex? Introduce yourself.
Hey, how you doing, Jaden? How you doing, Jonathan? I'm doing pretty good so far today. Thank you guys so much for having me here. I'm an actor and I also do stunts and it's pretty fun. I've been doing that. Yeah, I've been doing stunts for about 6 years now. I've been doing martial arts my whole life and acting for over 10 years now. And that's my passion, man. That's what I love to do. It's awesome. Jonathan and I actually met on a set, which we'll probably talk about in a little bit, but
we can talk about it now.
You can talk about it now. All right.
How did we meet?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Okay. So this is for the listeners and Jaden, man, this is going to be the funniest story. So
it better be now if you set it up like that.
Man, first thing was this. I was living in LA. I had to get a flight to go to Atlanta because this is where the casting or whatever was or boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
But what they were doing was like a casting slash boot camp. So it was weird. And we were supposed to be already in it, Jonathan and I, through a mutual friend.
Yeah.
Anyways, I get to the airport and I'm like, shoot, I don't have a way to get to this Airbnb where everybody's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I put in a group chat. Somebody picked me up. Jonathan goes, I'll do it. He picked me up. And damn it, that was it. He picked me up. We went to the house, checked it out. It was kind of boring at the house. So we left, started driving around Atlanta. Then we got to the set or we got to the boot camp site and my name wasn't showing up anywhere. And I was like, well, I'm just going to walk in. And I just walked in. And Jonathan's like, you just going to walk in? And I was like, yeah, we just walk in. And he's like, okay. I just walked in and then we just kept it moving that way.
But there's more to that story, basically. And I think we can say what the movie was, right? We could say that.
It was
the newest Suicide Squad. And,
oh, wow.
And this was a stunt gig. Now, we've talked about this before. I am not a stunt person.
Yeah, you have mentioned that.
Right. Now You put a number on something and I'll be one of those for that number. and that's what I was. Alex, I don't think your name was even supposed to be on that list. It's not that they forgot to put your name on the list. I think you never got the confirmation email. Remember, you never got that, but you still showed up.
Right.
And
yeah,
my
well,
name.
Because-
My
Your
name
was
on,
was
the
on
list.
There.
And
right,
I
right.
I drove him to the big studio out there in Georgia. And mm-hmm. and so we're like, well, what are we gonna do? I don't know. We'll just say that his name should have been on the list. And so security's like checking, they're going, no, we don't see that. And then they're like, yeah, well, I guess we'll just let you in. So Alex wasn't even, it's not that he was supposed to be, it's that he wasn't supposed to be.
You weren't supposed to be there. Let you in, anyways.
We were in a small group chat. One of our friends, Ellie Lowe, she's fantastic in the business, and she put Jonathan, myself, and a few others on this list. She goes, "Hey, don't tell anybody, but this is what's going down." And I name dropped all you guys, so you have to come out here. Just send all your info and show up. So that's what I did. I just showed up.
There you go.
And get all the emails.
Here's what's funny. They never picked him. And so he goes in and Alex, explain what boot camp is in the
Right. So for this movie specifically, we had to be like guerrilla or in other terms, we're military, but
mm-hmm.
it's like the slums military. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
they're very kind of ghetto, live in a jungle kind of military. So we had to know basic tactics of how to move, how to use a gun, but
basically,
it wasn't rigid.
It was how to walk with a gun, with an automatic rifle.
Yeah, how to walk, how to hold it, how to shoot it mm-hmm. properly,
mm-hmm.
you know, how to change the chamber, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And there were probably a few hundred people, right?
It was a lot, yeah.
This giant warehouse that used to be like a Staples or an Office Depot or something like that.
Nice.
That they had totally cleared out, gutted everything out. It was like mm-hmm. walls and a floor and a ceiling. You know what I mean?
That was it. And a bathroom, thankfully.
Right.
Yeah.
One bathroom for like everybody. And basically, the stunt director or coordinator, whatever you call it, he broke you up into little groups, and they would give you this plastic gun, and they'd say, okay, hold the gun and walk, like you're aiming it and walking. I'm like, what? To this day, I say, if I hadn't been told all of these things, like, I think I would have been okay. I think I would have been fine. But being told, hold it like this, walk like that, do this, I'm like, oh my God. So Alex, this guy who wasn't even on the list, he gets in there and they break us all into little groups, and he holds the gun.
Let me just say that Jonathan looked like a fish out of water when he started walking.
Jonathan was out of water.
Jonathan, I very much believe that.
Jonathan did not
belong
know how to do any of this. Still doesn't. But they grade you. As they look at you walking, they grade you with a green, which means like top of a bunch, man. This guy or this girl is great. A yellow, which is like, I mean, I guess they look okay. They need a little bit more work, but maybe. Hmm. And then a red, which is like, what is this person doing here? And
you're basically a body at that point.
Right.
You're red.
And you're not supposed to know. You're not supposed to know what your grading is.
Yeah.
But I like to think of myself as a pretty smart person. And after I did my thing, Ellie, our friend, was talking with the stunt coordinator. And so I was over there talking with her. And I don't remember what I said or something, but he's like, yeah, there's some greens, there's some reds. I'm like, look, man, I'm like, I've been around. I know that I got a red. So I'm okay if you just tell me that. I'm like, but don't tell me don't talk to me like I'm a green if you gave me a red. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh no. I'm like, dude, I saw the list. I saw the word by my name. and it's okay. I'm like, it's totally fine. Alex, on the other hand, straight up green light.
Nice.
Man, and it was. That was just the first day. I mean, we had to go back like two or three times. This dude, first of all, for the boot camp, we went back like three times. They did a makeshift set with boxes and we had to rehearse. And Jonathan was like, man, I ain't doing this. So he left. Still, somehow, they called all of us back for the movie like a month and a half later.
Wow.
Somehow. So, of course, remember, like I said, red is basically a body.
Yeah.
When we're on set, they literally get rubber guns mm-hmm. to just stand around and pretend.
Which nowadays is probably a really good thing.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then Ellie and myself, we all got we had former usable guns. They're completely gutted. And all they do is shoot blanks, but they still mm-hmm. shoot like the flames on the sides.
Flames.
Yeah, when we were shooting them, like it lit up on the sides of them. No, like when you shoot, there's a little fire that comes off the sides.
Yeah, so yeah, still like, still making the muzzle flashes.
All the muzzle flashes is wild. So you know, a few of us had those. But when I tell you the whole time on set, Jonathan's like, man, I don't need to be here right now. I don't want to do this. So him and I just decided every either morning or night, because we were shooting overnight, so our schedules were backwards.
Yeah.
We just go out, go around town. We ate some Indian food, found some hole-in-the-wall, underground, karaoke/stand-up, comedy skit/improv, like all into one. So that's another story. That was funny. We found this place randomly. We're like, what is this? We get in after eating some Indian food that apparently Jonathan has never had before.
Oh, really? True. I had had Indian food.
But when we got there, you're like, I don't know what to get. I'm like, I got you. So I order like the whole menu. That's anyways, we get it. We find this place. We walk down the steps. And the first thing I say, I'm like, yo, I shot my very first project in Atlanta here. We're in Atlanta. I was like, this is random. I never knew where this place was. And Jonathan's like, wow, that's pretty cool. So we go into the place like, hey, if you guys want, you can put your name in this bowl and you can participate in the stand up.
This improv.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, by the way, we got drinks. If you guys want some drinks, of course, Jonathan
I had
said,
a few.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
So we walk in, we didn't even sit down. And they go, Alexander, I just got here. And they throw me on the stage and they're like, all right, here's the scenario. Go.
So you just had to improv from a just normal scenario? Wow.
So they give you a scenario and they give you like, you do this and go.
I remember Alex jumped on the back of one of the people on stage. And this dude was like, I don't know, you know, what to say, whatever, because he was just a guest, an audience member. And then B, he's got Alex on his back yelling at him.
Because I think I could only say one word in response to whatever the other guys were saying.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember why we were so late?
No.
Because as we were getting out of the car, I had lost my car keys.
No, so you're mixing that with the other experience we had in Miami.
Oh. Well, okay. Same
you
thing.
You want to talk about that? Man.
Point is, I got out. I mean, I had the keys as I drove us there, turned off the car, and lost the keys between getting out of the car and turning off the car and getting out of the car. I lost the keys. And it took me, 20 minutes?
It disappeared.
It just disappeared, and they were in the trunk, right?
In the trunk.
How? What?
Exactly. We got to the place. We parked, got out of the car, lost the keys, and they were in the trunk.
How did they get in the trunk?
First of all, I'm glad he figured it out before we even walked to the venue, because we were about to go, and he's like, "Wait a minute, did I lock the car? Oh shoot, where are the keys?"
Yeah.
20 minutes later, they're in the trunk. I don't even know how we thought about going to the trunk.
I think
just gotta check everywhere, I guess.
I think I might have went into the trunk to grab my hat, like my baseball hat or whatever.
Oh.
And maybe I guess I set the key. I don't know. Penn and Teller would have been proud. Like, how did the keys end up in the trunk? I don't know, but I fooled you.
You fooled us.
so that's sort of how Alex and I met. But Alex, if you can call it this, pretty much full-time actor, right? I mean, it's not like you have a day job. This is your job, is gigging.
Yeah, exactly. And this year especially has been more often than not the one of the busier ones I've had.
Thank you. Oh, really? You used to be a personal trainer. And he was actually my personal trainer for about a day and a half until said, "Yeah, I'm not gonna work out anymore." But
you gotta understand, Jonathan is a special type of person.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that already.
but I guess the training kind of took a back seat once the whole COVID thing came up, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, for personal training, definitely took a back seat. I started doing more online coaching because that was all you could do, and working from home. But that year, especially COVID, I mean, acting, everything just kind of stopped. We all know that. But,
yeah, everything just ground to a halt.
But for myself, I decided, I was like, well, I'm going to just get as good as I can get just work on my craft as good as I can and as much as I can for as long as I can since we're here stuck at home. So Jonathan, I'm sure you guys talked about his classes with Prodigy Talent and everything. And I was taking, without missing any Sunday or Wednesday classes for the better part of a year, just over and over and over. And within that, I booked a couple of gigs that all got pushed to this year and still religiously going into class, even as I'm working.
Nice.
It's one of the things you learn. It's like, yo, you still have to stay in class. I mean, the best actors that we see out there still train every day.
Oh yeah.
Or at least once a week, something. They got a coach, or even they just have a coach on set.
And so a lot of these actors, whether they're like big time stars or blue collar Hollywood, meaning you're not rich and famous, you got to eat, and so you go to work to earn money to eat, but you happen to go to work in the film industry on camera. A lot of them have agents. Some don't. But I think every actor should work on finding their own gigs, not just relying on the phone to ring and your agent saying, hey, we got you some. You know, I've heard people say, you know why an agent only takes 10% of your paycheck?
Because they only do 10% of the work.
Right, oh. Right. So yeah. Alex, even though I know that we found you an agent in Atlanta, yeah. You have an agent in LA. Without the agent, how do you find work?
Yeah, how do you go about finding stuff to do?
Oh, well,
for money.
Yeah.
Right. How do I make my monies? Main thing is I go through the casting sites that are all available for all those actors. I mean, the agents use them too, but mm-hmm. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 sites that I go through.
Which ones?
I got Actors Access, Backstage, Casting Networks, and I go through IMDb Pro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have a few there. It's mostly to find good information, if you know what I'm saying. But mm-hmm. at the same time, they do have some castings on there. But I make it a point every week to one a day. I pick one site a day. It's 4 sites, so I got 4 different days, and I try to do 5 to 10 submissions a day, but from just one site, so I don't overwhelm myself trying to like, oh, I gotta find all this.
Yeah.
So I just do one of those, but eventually, I mean, that's already, if I just do 5 every day, that's 20 submissions. If I decide to do 10, that's 40. You know, our agents do 40 because they have 40 people
to work
with. You know, I got myself. And even though I definitely have been getting a lot more auditions from my agents too, so I'm grateful for them. But the biggest two projects that I've worked on so far in my career has been because of me. So the first one was Black Bear, which is
available on Amazon Prime right now. You can see Alex.
Yeah, it was a crazy, awesome experience in Greenville, South Carolina.
And who was the guy? There's a star in it.
There's a couple. There's a few people. It's popular now. UFC, the fighting, mixed martial arts.
What's that guy's name? See
those pay-per-views. The main bad guy in the movie is Ovince St. Preux, OSP.
Oh,
His OSP. Real name?
Oh, yeah. I think he's Haitian. OSP, Ovince St. Preux.
He's not the guy I'm thinking of.
Well, he's one of the fighters that's one of the leads. But the coach that is the coaching the lead in the movie, that I had an amazing time filming a scene with him, is Eric Roberts.
There it is, Eric Roberts.
Ah, okay.
I was going to say, I know that first name you said isn't what I was thinking.
Yeah, no. Which was crazy because I remember when I was getting cast and everything, somebody had mentioned something about the star. No, it was the first day on set. They were like, hey, we got to switch some things around. We're going to need you for extra time tomorrow, whatever. I'm like, who cares? I'm going to be here all day.
Yeah.
I was, all right. Well, because we got a big star in the movie and we need to shoot him as much as possible in the least amount of time, you know?
So you found that movie Black Bear, for which you obviously got paid and you had lines and you were one of the leads or co-stars. You found that on Actors Access on your own?
Co-star, yeah. This one actually, at the time, I knew a friend that had a casting.
So without an agent, though,
on
you
Facebook.
Found it. You found it without an agent.
I got it by myself.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you that, you know, people think, well, if I get an agent, then I'm set. I don't have to do anything else. That's not true.
If that's the mentality that you have, you ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's not at all true.
There's not one version. There's not one version of any successful actor story that they said, I got an agent and I made it. Not one.
Nope.
There's not one version of that. The agents, at the end of the day, they have their role. They have their job. They help protect you. They help you with your contracts. Sure. They help negotiate. They're going to make sure you get paid a lot. The good ones, right. They're going to make sure you get paid enough because they only get 10%. They're trying to make that 10%.
Trying to make it as much as possible, yeah.
So they got your best interest when it comes to that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I feel... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
The last thing I was going to say was that agent is not the end goal. Agent is just part of the steps that you take to get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm.
So like voiceover, because Jaden is all VO.
I'm voiceover
great.
Only.
He's great.
He has a good voice, man.
Thank you.
I'm jealous. But the voiceover side, I think, is very similar to the acting side when it comes to networking, searching for jobs, searching for submissions, auditioning, never hearing back from that particular audition, then hearing back from some that you think, there's no way I'm going to get this. It's pretty much the same process. They might be different websites, although some are the same.
Some are the
backstage,
same.
Backstage has really come a long way, by the way. Yeah. So finding work, even if you don't have an agent, is relatively, I'm not going to say it's simple, but it's easy. It's not complicated. You just have to do the work.
It's definitely easy. Right. Yeah. It's one of those, it's not even, if you really want this as your career, it cannot be tedious.
Yeah.
Because for some people it will be. But if you want this to be your career, it cannot be tedious.
What do you mean?
You have to make that a priority.
Well, you can make it a priority even if it's tedious. Frankly, I hate it. It's tedious. It's boring. I get distracted.
But you make the time to do that. A lot of people get distracted when they're like, this is so tedious and annoying. I don't want to do it. So they don't. And then they wonder, man, when is my big break going to happen? Try next to never.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Being an actor, just like being a voiceover talent, is like owning your own small business, because essentially that's what it is.
It's owning your own business.
Well, if you don't do any work on your business, then no one's going to patronize or hire you or your business to do anything, right? It's like if it was a restaurant, you might have the very best hamburger in town. But if you don't tell anybody that, if you don't bring anybody to your restaurant to taste the very best hamburgers, then who cares if it's the best?
Exactly.
You know, because no one's going to know about it.
It doesn't matter.
When it comes to acting. So anything else we should talk about when it comes to finding work?
Well, going back to when we talked about staying in classes and everything.
Yeah.
In class, you never know who you're going to be with in your acting class.
Exactly.
Some people are new. Some people are experienced. Some people are just figuring it out. Or like in my case, for example, with Jonathan, and I've had a lot of acting teachers and coaches, but I really like working with Jonathan because he works every week. So who better to teach you the business when he's in the business every week?
Actively,
and he's learning the things on the go that are changing and new, right? Therefore, he knows all these other people that are directors, that are producers, that could be a casting director. And he puts in a word, or he says, hey, guys, this is happening. Go submit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, whose job is it to go do it?
It's you.
Us. You know what I'm saying? So if we get the info from Jonathan and we don't get up and go do it and then wonder what happened, it's because you didn't do the job. So that's another good way of getting, that's another one. Because of being in class, I got booked on a short film for the Orlando International Film Festival last year.
Oh, nice.
Because of
class.
Did
I know that?
Yeah, you knew that. Remember?
What was the film?
I showed it to you. It was a horror movie.
Oh, okay. Wait. Yes.
A horror short film.
Yep. Yeah.
But my point is I did it. I got it because I saw it in our class page because we were informed. Look over the class page because sometimes there are castings. So that's what I did.
So what do you think the challenge is when it comes to not finding work, but finding an agent? Because a lot of people want an agent, even if you don't necessarily need one just to book work, you certainly benefit from having one or two, whatever. How did you find your first agent? And are there any tips and tricks you can think of, Alex, when it comes to finding someone to represent you and represent you well? And then Jaden, I don't really know about the voiceover representation side. I know that there are agencies who only represent voice talent.
Yeah, there are.
How does that work?
I'm actually not sure. I don't have an agent. I'm I think I'm getting close to the point where I can start looking for one. But at the moment, I don't have one.
Definitely. You definitely are ready. And if any agents are listening, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Give Jaden a call, you know?
Yeah.
But Alex, how did you first get your agent? And what do you recommend for people who don't have agents who want some?
Well, you also asked earlier that what are some difficulties we run into to get one, right? And one is a lot of times it's lack of knowing people or information, because when you're new, especially, and you want an agent, you don't know anyone. So it's kind of hard to find an agent or have an agent represent you when they don't even know anything that's going on with you.
Yeah.
Now, along with that comes that you want an agent, you got to show them what you got, but you can't just show up. It's not how it used to be where they can see you on the street and give you a shot. There's too many people. Too many options now. You know what I'm saying? So what you got to do now, first of all, you got to create your own content, right? You got to make sure you put yourself on tape. You got to have some headshots. You got to have some stuff that show you, you know what I'm saying?
So then, what specifically did you do to get this agent, the first agent?
The first of the two that I have now. So,
okay.
Of the two that I have now, the first one was I knew somebody that knew the agent. In this case, it was Jonathan. But why did that happen? Let me tell you why. When I first met Jonathan, we were in a conversation, and I think I hadn't heard back from this audition that I did. And I was like, man, I put in a lot of work into that. And Jonathan goes, well, let me see. And I saw it, and he saw it. I showed it to him, and he goes, well, damn, you definitely should have gotten something.
Oh, that was so the one about the talking teddy bear or something, right?
Yeah, that weird. Yeah, this dude, something weird. So I don't know.
Alex was great in it. Alex was great in the audition, but the story itself was just.
It was weird. It was
strange.
Yeah. Odd. So I don't know if because of that it kind of lingered in Jonathan's head or something. But at one point out of nowhere, he goes, hey, I'm going to see my friend for dinner. You should come. Wait a minute. He's an agent. You definitely should come. But all that's to say is, if I backtrack all the way, I have been finding myself auditions. I have been putting myself on tape. I have been working towards being good at auditions.
Yeah.
So therefore, I have something to show someone that knew an agent, right?
Yeah.
Now, another way that I got an agent was because I worked with someone on a set and on a project, and they were like, hey, my agent is looking for more talent. I'm going to refer you.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
How I got my agent in LA. That's how we worked out together.
There you go. And so what it boils down to is really the classic saying, if it's who you know. It really, really comes down to that.
It's not what you, go ahead.
Who knows you?
And who likes you.
Right.
Because they can know you and not like you.
Like you.
And
right.
That ain't going to help you. So,
right.
So what it boils down to is this. If you want representation, then make sure you have something to represent.
Mm-hmm.
That means your demo reels, your profiles on Actors Access Backstage, all of these casting portals. Make sure
all
everything is solid. Make sure that if you're an on-camera actor, you have appropriate, updated headshots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean pictures that your friend took with their iPhone, or pictures that your aunt took with her fancy camera because she just got it for Christmas last year, and now that's what makes her a qualified headshot photographer.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. That's not the same thing. No.
Right.
And you know what? Headshots don't have to cost you $1,000, man. It doesn't. There's people that cost way less and are just as good.
Right.
You just got to ask around, do your research, go to acting class.
So here's what I'd like to do. I want to give Alex, I want to give you a second or two to tell us some tips and tricks on auditions that you've learned. But first, I want to go over how to get an agent, because in my opinion, and I can't really speak from the voiceover side, but in the film and TV side, I think it's easier to find an agent than it is to get a gig.
In the voiceover side, you said?
No.
In the actor side?
On the film
side.
And TV side. I think it's easier to find an agent. Now, here's what you do. You go to Google. Heard of it?
Yeah.
They're like, you can type in what you're looking for, and then they give you like a list of, I don't know, trillion or so results.
A magical thing on the internet?
Yeah. Right. Type in the city that is close, the biggest city that's closest to you.
Say that again, because I'm not sure if people are going to catch that.
Type into Google the largest city that's closest to you.
Like, so for example, if you live in Coconut Creek, Florida, don't put Coconut Creek, put Miami,
yeah,
Florida.
Is there a place called Coconut Creek? I wouldn't mind living in a place called Coconut Creek. That's fun.
Right.
But yeah, so you put Miami Talent Agency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you go to these agencies' websites, and most agencies will have a button that says submit or become a talent or contact. And a lot of times they'll say, don't call us or certainly don't show up at their office. But you follow those directions and you submit not just to one, you submit to all of them. Make that a day's work.
You just take go around break. Submitting.
Yeah, take your break and whatever, but find agencies in your area or maybe even just outside of your area, and you follow their submission steps. Mm-hmm. Some agencies you can't even submit, you have to be referred. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't start with those.
Yeah.
Start with the ones you know you can submit to. Also, go to Facebook. A lot of agencies will have public like fan pages where they're posting, their success stories. So and so just got booked on this role. Such and such just made it to, this callback, whatever.
Yeah.
Follow these public pages on a page or from an account that is professional. You don't want an agent to see your profile picture and it's you, holding a bottle of, cranberry vodka with no shirt on.
Very specific.
You want to represent yourself as a business, as a professional person, and you follow and you like and you comment. And then some of these agencies might say, hey, we're looking for a family or this kind of person. And you submit your photos and you submit your auditions. And sometimes they'll represent you only if you book the job. That's when you have to sign the paperwork or whatever. Huh. But if you do that work in one day, maybe two, you can find an agent who will either represent you or simply send you an audition. And if you book it, then they'll sign you, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think if you do the work, it's easier to find an agent than it is to find a gig, because when you're getting the gig, it's like people got to pay you. An agent, if they look at you and they say, hey, I can make money off this person, he's got a great look or she's got a great voice or whatever, that's going to be easier. And another tip is to, when you click on that agency's website, and then Alex, I know I'll let you go, but when you click on the agency's website, look and see what kind of talent they already represent.
Yeah.
If they represent somebody who looks just like you, then odds are they don't really need you.
Yeah, they don't want twins unless they ask for it.
unless they
you
want
get
them.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you're smart about it and you put the time into it, I would say that you will get an agent before you get a legit gig. Once you get the agent, or once you see audition breakdowns online, you have to audition. And Alex, on your way out, because I know Alex has got to go, live his superstar life. But Alex, do you have any audition tips or tricks you want to share with us before you go back to stardom land?
No, absolutely. One of the tricks, I guess I'll call it a trick for the sake of the question. One of the tricks I have learned is that don't be really so afraid to add a few blings to your wardrobe in an audition, but they have to make sense though. Like, for example, I had an audition today, earlier, and I was like, as you know, typical black shirt, you know, got my nice background to make sure I look good on camera. And then I said, man, how can I stand out but not stick out? So what I do, I have a silver chain. It's thin, it's small, but you can see the little glare from this from the light. So I just let it hang loose on my black shirt so you can see it. But it's not so big and distracting that it takes away from the performance.
Yeah.
It's just a little twinkle to be like, oh, that's cool.
So, then tip number one, wear appropriate jewelry.
Yeah. Jewelry or even a prop that makes sense. Like, I book a Hallmark movie. You remember, Jonathan?
Yes.
I booked a Hallmark movie. Which this goes to tip number two, dress appropriately for your audition.
Right.
But don't think about it too hard. If you got to wear a suit and tie, just wear whatever suit and tie you got. If you're a military guy, do not go by the unit suit. Just wear a green shirt or tan shirt, whatever.
Don't go out and buy fatigues.
Right. It could be the one exception where you wear a white t-shirt that's really tight. You know what I'm saying? Because you're in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you don't want to wear white, but I figure that's an exception for a boot camp or something. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Keep it simple for the wardrobe. But like, I did this Hallmark movie, and I'm supposed to be a DJ. And I was like, what can I use to really show that I'm a DJ? I was like, well, I'm going to have headphones, because DJs usually have a headphone, one in the ear and the other one down.
Yep.
So I just had a headphone. But it wasn't like this giant video game thing with the little mic. No. You need these nice headphones in your ears that you take off that kind of disappear as you're doing the scene.
Yeah.
So that way it doesn't distract. So those are the three things I can tell you. Make sure your props make sense. Also, your wardrobe, keep it simple. And
bling it out if you can.
Bling it out if you can. But the most important tip I can say for the audition. Right. The most important tip I can say in any audition, because normally we get them tonight for tonight, if you guys know what I mean. Like, you get an audition now and you got to submit it now. Mm-hmm. And all you got time for is memorize the lines. So just understand whatever's happening in that story and be yourself. For example, how would Alexander do this right now? Because I don't have time to prepare a character.
Yeah.
I just got to be Alexander.
You just got to right do now. It.
Just read it like, oh, shoot, that's the words I got to say. All right. What's happening? Okay, I hate you, but I'm telling you that I love you. Have I done that? Probably. All right, cool. Let's go.
So there you go. Yeah.
I love you, but I really mean that I hate you and I'm just being me. You can be completely wrong and they'll still book you. Like, I had one quick story of a former acting coach. His name is Lewis Smith. He was pretty well known in the 80s doing one of those greaser movies in the 80s. But he had an audition for this movie, and they gave him different sides at the callback. And he started, you know, he had to do the audition as he was reading, you know, a cold read in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
And he completely misread the idea at the second half of the script. So he did something so outlandish. He like crouched down and had to like cry for something and grabbed the casting director's leg. It was wild, but it was kind of uncalled for.
Yeah, don't ever do that.
You don't want to do that.
But don't ever do that.
He was so believable in the moment, but so wrong that they were like, damn, we got to give him a shot.
Not worth the risk.
He committed it.
That's a one-time anomaly. Yeah. Yeah. Not worth it.
One-time thing.
Hey, let's give a huge talent pool thank you to Mr. Yes. Alexander Burgos.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Should we be cheesy and say, like, thanks for jumping in the talent pool or something? Like, I don't know.
Thanks for hopping in the pool.
Yeah, right. It's time for us to dry off and get out. I don't know.
Yeah,
but Alex, thank you. That was fun. We'll have you back at some point.
Nah, I appreciate you guys so much. I would love to be back. We'll chit chat a lot more and more stories about Jonathan and I.
Oh, for sure.
There's a few.
You think,
these are some entertaining stories.
We got. got plenty. You guys have a good one. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye, thanks, Alex, for joining us, Alex. See you later.
So that is my friend Alexander Jesus Burgos.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's very, very cool. One of those guys that definitely won the looks lottery. You know, he's got that look that I guess you'd call ethnically ambiguous. He could play. Yeah. He can play African American if he needed to. He could play Middle Eastern. He could play Hispanic. He could play Caucasian. He could play all of it. So, you know, lucky him.
Yeah. For all the audio listeners, which is at this moment only audio. Yeah. Everything he just said there, very true. That's exactly what I noticed right as soon as I saw him.
Olive toned skin, green eyes, curly, dark hair, long. Yeah. I mean, and the guy's, you know, ripped. Lucky him. Lucky him. You know, if you were building a Frankenstein who is going to have to work in the entertainment, like acting industry, you could just pick and choose what you wanted. You'd probably end up with something like that.
You build him.
Right. Right. And I think he had some pretty good tips.
He did.
On auditions. I don't know about the jewelry.
I think at the base of that, it was stand out, but don't stick out.
Right. Which I'm glad he remembered that, because that's one of the things we talk about in my training all the time. But I think what's more important than the jewelry is you should be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can talk to 10 different casting directors and get 10 different opinions. I don't think jewelry matters unless it's distracting.
Yeah.
If your character would wear jewelry, sure, why not? One of the biggest tips that I give people is, if you're doing a scene where you have, let's say your character speaks to three other characters, obviously you're not going to look right into the lens if you're supposed to be talking to another person. So you put it just off, let's say, to the right. And that's where your main reader would be. Or if you're doing a Zoom read, that's where you're going to put the eye line, your focus. The main person you talk to is going to be right there, just off to the right.
Yeah.
If there's another character in the scene that you talk to, even if your real life reader is standing there on the right, you imagine that person to be on the left side of the lens.
To be on the other side.
So now, right, now I'm looking over there. If there's a third person, you put them way in the distance, like on the other side of the room, even if in the scene they're not supposed to be. So you have to kind of look right above the lens, almost like you're reaching to see them. So it's, you know, if you can't see this if you're listening, but Jaden, you can see it. So, you know, I might say, hey, Julia. Oh, Kyle showed up too. Mm-hmm. And look, there's Rhonda back there. That's how you operate that. So nailing your eye line is really important in an audition. Next, props. Now, most people will tell you never use props in an audition. I'm not sure I'm in that boat. I think you can use a prop as long as the prop serves the scene, meaning your audition or that moment in your audition is more effective because you have the prop in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're supposed to be on the phone, then a phone in your hand is better, and this makes my teeth tickle, than this. The moment...
Then the hand phone,
You can guess what I'm doing, y'all. Yes, that like hang 10 fake phone.
Use an actual phone.
Right. The moment anybody sees you using your hand finger phone, you've taken them out of the reality that you're trying to create in the first place. You're also doing that for yourself. You're taking yourself out of that reality. So use a real phone. And if you feel weird holding it up to your face, then make it like a speaker phone.
Yeah, pretend it's on speaker.
Right? A phone is something you can easily stick right in your pocket or set down, and it doesn't distract you for the rest of the scene when you're auditioning.
Yep.
Another thing you can use are your sides. In an audition, I think it's acceptable to have sides or the script in your hand because it's an audition. You're not performance ready. it's an audition. You're trying out. So when you have that in your hand, that now becomes any sort of item that is like flat and rectangular. You're not going to hold your sides up to your face as if they're your phone.
Yeah.
Right. But it could be fine for a newspaper that you're reading, or maybe your character is walking in with a tray. You know, that's fine to hold it as if you're presenting something on a tray. You know what I mean? That's how you use props effectively. And then the last point I normally make is they want to see you. So you don't have to be goofy, you know, I mean, unless they ask you to, but don't try to give them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the best version of you, because yeah. after that, you have no control over whether or not you get the part.
You need to show what you bring to the table.
Right. And that means you have to know what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So as long
that
as
that applies for voice acting too.
I would assume it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I guess that would be my last tip for right now anyways, is don't worry so much about what you think they want, but go in there as yourself, the best version of yourself, and kind of set it and forget it. Once you get out of the audition, let it go, because you know you did everything you could to be your absolute best. Now, mm-hmm. when it comes to voiceover, what tips and tricks and things do you recommend?
So I don't have nearly as much experience in this, but from what I've felt works for me, something that helps for making an audition, because I usually do multiple takes of lines just to really hone in on what I think they're asking for or what I think sounds better. First thing right off the bat, I would really recommend first read of the script should be a recording. So like sight read it, basically. And that helps with practicing. Like sight reading things is a really big thing for voiceover.
What do you mean by sight reading? What is that?
So the first time you read the script is the first time you're also talking. So you don't get to look at the script beforehand. You see it and you read it as you go. And the reason why it helps, because in a booth, like if you're in a recording studio, you don't really get to see the script beforehand. If you're recording for like an animation or something, often you don't get to see the script beforehand. You are mainly doing sight reading, and you have to be able to sight read.
I see. So it's kind of like cold reading. Like you've not had
100%
any time to look at it at all.
Yep. You have to look at it. You have to do it first time you're seeing it. And of course, that's why there's multiple takes, because now you've read it. And if the casting or the director's like, hey, let's get a read of that again, but try it this way. And you're like, okay, cool. But now you already know what's being said. And you can then you can deliver, you know, maybe a different version if they want that. But practice cold reading would be an audition thing for me for voice actors, is practice cold reading, especially for if it's going to be a live audition and they send you the script then and there. Well, you're going to have to cold read that too. You know, even if it's not a gig, if it's just an audition. And then what else? Don't be afraid to be loud, I would say. If you feel what you're reading calls for you to be a bit louder or to project a bit more, a little tip is do not stand further from the mic, because then you'll get more room tone. Just turn down your gain a little bit.
That's good advice.
You can turn down the gain and you might sound a little quieter in the initial recording. Even though you're projecting, and that's okay, just raise it up with some post-processing. Because that's the great thing about voiceover, is that any kind of problems that may arise can be easily fixed through some audio manipulation. It's really not that hard. If you're a little quiet, just do a little gain boost, normalized 3 dB, all that good stuff. But if the line's not working for you, try reading it louder and just turn down your gain a bit. You don't want to step back from your mic. The reasonable thing people usually say to be in your mic is to be about a fist apart between your mouth and the mic is either a fist or a hang 10.
So between the fake phone,
yeah,
the finger
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, the fake phone. So you want to be about a fist or a hang 10 between your mouth and the mic. I do a fist because I prefer to record a little closer and just turn down the gain a little bit because I feel like I get more quality that way. But in terms of tips, that's all I got. And I just kind of...
I'd say that's pretty good, though. I never thought about turning down the gain so that you don't pick up all that room tone.
Yeah, because if you stand back from your mic, it's not getting your voice. It's getting the echo of your voice in the room. That's what it's picking up more on.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the technique of, I don't know what you call it, but you read the line once one way. Oh, what we talk ABC reads? Is that it?
ABC? ABCs, yeah.
Do you do that in an audition where you read the line one way, or that sentence one way, then a second way, and then a third way, and then you go on to the next sentence or next line? Do you do that in an audition?
That depends. A lot of the time, if they want you to do that, they'll ask for it. But if general rule of thumb for me is that if it's a really short line, like if it's a side and it really is just super short, then you can reasonably record two or three takes without making the audition super long. Because a long audition, no one wants to listen to a long audition.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another tip. If you're recording three takes for every audition you do and they're over a minute, that's way too long. Way too long. For a side. And now, of course, that does depend on the volume that they want you to record. If they want you to record a whole paragraph, then yeah, it's going to be over a minute. And you probably don't want to do more than one take because you want to do two at the absolute most. Three takes is way too many.
Do you give these producers or casting directors, do you give them the entire copy? Do you read everything there, even if it's super long?
Yeah,
I typically don't.
If they want you to, then yes. Mm-hmm.
I typically don't, even if they want me to. And they're like, especially in the audiobook world, where they'll say, hey, for your audition, read this sample, and it's six pages.
It's like six pages. Yeah, you can get away with reading
a paragraph.
Half a page. Yeah.
Oh, half a page. I'll do five, maybe 10 sentences, two paragraphs. But after that, it's like, I know y'all ain't going to listen
to the full
page
six pages
four,
yeah,
you're not gonna listen to page four.
Yeah,
so I'd rather give you a great first two paragraphs, and I think to myself, the goal of an audition, be it voiceover or on camera, would be to make them want to see more of you or hear more of you.
Yeah,
I don't give it all away, because then you're giving them more time to say no, and I'd rather them say, hey, I like this guy. Let's get more. We want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
short
my
and
approach.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Short and sweet. Yeah. And that applies for voice actors. That applies for demos as well. If your demo reel, if your demo reel is over a minute and 30, that is way too long. You want to try to keep it to a minute maximum.
I think that would be a great topic for episode number next is demo reels.
Yeah. Because the way I do demo reels is way different from what you do for demo reels.
You mean as far as on-camera stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would assume that the main difference is mine has a visual component to it.
Yeah, that would be. And for me, for an audio demo reel, if you listen to one, it's usually a bunch of things spliced together, like just jumping. Because you want to cram in as much as what you can do with your voice as you possibly can while keeping it so it's not a chore to listen to. And for you, I'm sure saying a line and then abruptly cutting right to a different thing, that's jarring because of the visuals. But for audio, it's not.
I don't know if it's that jarring because I think the person who's viewing the demo reel, I don't think... At least in my case, when I've cast talent, I'll look at that demo reel, but I'm not looking to be entertained. If I want to be entertained, I'll go watch Cutthroat Kitchen or Squid Games. I want to see the work. And okay. I'm looking at it very differently. So I don't need to understand the story. I just want to see what you look like or what you sound like. I want to get the idea of this type of character that you're playing. And then, yeah, jump to the next one. I'm somebody who will watch probably a minute and a half to 2 minutes of a demo reel. But if it's exactly. longer than that, I ain't going to watch the rest of it because I don't need to. If I'm good yeah. at what I do, I already know yes or no
mm-hmm.
far before we reach the 2 minute mark.
And a tip that we'll talk more on next time is if you don't hook them within the first 5 seconds, not going to stay.
Just like a commercial on YouTube, like skip this exactly. ad, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, I honestly can't wait for the next episode where we learn some demo reel stuff. Maybe we could even find some demo reels of, doesn't have to be ourselves, but of people, voiceover people or on camera people, and let's see.
Sure.
Let's use those as our sort of, what do you want to call them?
Examples,
but
yeah,
but we'll talk about how far we made it into listening to them, why we like one versus the other. That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be good. All right. So we'll put a close to this episode here and we will
say it.
Hold on.
Say
not it. Yet. There's something I want to say first.
Okay.
This for people who are still listening. Is a call to action. So if you have been thinking about getting an agent and you think you're ready for one, you're just not quite sure and something's holding you back, just go do what John talked about here. If you need to listen, like go back into the podcast, listen to what he says, go put yourself out there and get yourself an agent. If that's something you really think that you're ready for, do it. It really is as easy as he said.
You know, it'd be really helpful too. Maybe we need to make like an email address or something for us so that people can email us and contact us with, you know, friendly mm-hmm. words or gift cards, you know. But also maybe they can get some advice if
yeah.
they indeed want it.
I'm working on a website as we speak.
Ooh.
Yeah. I can't say as to when it'll be up because websites take time,
yes.
but I can say that one will be coming.
Look at that. So you'll find the contact information somewhere on this page or the description or wherever. And yeah,
as soon as it's available. Yes.
Yeah. And I think it'd be cool to get some good examples and some good non-examples of
mm-hmm.
quality demos.
Yeah. All right. We'll end off this episode now. And so, to everyone listening, if indeed you still are, thank you for listening. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Talent Pool Podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing some of the really fun stories that Alexander had to share. You can find him on Twitter, Facebook, and IMDb. So go check him out. Now, if you like this episode and you think others would too, please feel free to share it around. And with that, we'll see you in the next one.